Lord's still good today. He's never been bad to us, that's for sure. And I thank God for that. He's good no matter how unworthy we've been. He's certainly been good to us and been faithful to us. There's no doubt about that. And I hope tonight finds you well in the Lord and knowing Him as your personal Savior. And I pray that if you don't know Him, that you'll get saved tonight. Simply believing in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He came and lived and died for you and rose again for you. Listen, if you'll believe that in your heart, ask Him to save you from your heart. Listen, He'll save you tonight. Thank God for that tonight. And I just ask you to get saved. Out of Matthew chapter 9, I want to look at Matthew chapter 9 this evening. Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read one verse. In verse 9, Matthew 9 and verse 9, and the Bible says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And He saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed Him." Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help us now. Touch us while we preach. Guard our mind and our thoughts. Give us unction from the Holy One. And we'll certainly tell You that we love You. And thank You for Your blessings. And thank You for being good to us tonight. And Lord, for everything You've done. For this in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. So as we look here in this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9, as the Lord is started His ministry, if you let me say that, and He's calling men and that into the ministry. And He comes by, in the prior verses here, He has healed a man that was sick of the palsy, and He told him to be healed. He forgave him of his sins, and of course the scribes were there, and they said, "How can this man forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins." But we know that Jesus was God and is God. And so He forgave him of his sins. And after all this takes place, and in verse 9, as Jesus comes by, He comes by Matthew, a man by the name of Matthew, and he's sitting at the receipt of custom. And now what that is he is a tax collector. In other words, he's taking up taxes and that for the Roman Empire. And if you go through and add and look in the other parts of the Scripture, in the other parts of the Gospel, you'll find that his name was Levi and that he was also called a publican. Now, if you remember the story about Zacchaeus, you remember that Zacchaeus was chief of the publicans, and they were Jews that had sold themselves out under the Roman government and that to collect money for them from the Jewish people. And so as he comes by, he looks at Matthew and he says, "Follow me." And so you find that in the latter part or in the next few verses, you'll find out that there is a dinner made and a supper made and there are publicans and sinners that have come to eat. As a matter of fact, if you look at one portion in the gospel, you'll find out that these sinners and that these publicans were invited and that by Matthew. And so he had already begun to invite folk that would come unto meet Jesus. And you find that the Bible said here in verse 11, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Can I say today that publicans were not well-liked people. They didn't like them because they'd sold themselves out to the Roman government to collect taxes off the Jews. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, when he's talking about somebody that is not wanting to get right, not wanting to listen to the church, he said, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And so we know that publicans were not well thought of. And we know that a lot of times they would take more than what they were supposed to do. As a matter of fact, you'll find in the book of Luke chapter 3 when Jesus, and he's out there. Or if you let me say that, let me go over there and look in Luke chapter 3. And the publicans here have come and to be baptized. And you'll find that they ask him some questions in Luke chapter 3. Let me get over here and we'll read this and we'll get started preaching. In Luke chapter 3, let's see here. Luke chapter 3 and verse 12. Let me get over here. Luke chapter 3 and verse 12. And the Bible tells us right here, and I believe John's baptizing, I believe I said Jesus, but I believe John's baptizing right here. And he said, then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And so we know that they would take more taxes than what they should have. As a matter of fact, that's how Zacchaeus got to be rich. Now say, preacher, why are you making such a big deal of this up front? It's because Jesus knew what Matthew was. He knew what he was. He knew what he'd done. And in spite of that, and in spite of him probably taking more than what he was supposed to, Jesus comes by and says, follow me. Now, I'm glad tonight that it don't matter who you are or what you're doing, when Jesus comes by and says, follow me, you can follow him. Listen tonight, first of all, I'm glad that we followed him in salvation. Tonight, no matter where God finds you at, if you're lost and undone without him, no matter how crooked you may be or low down that you think you are. By the way, we're all crooked and low down in the eyes of God. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing good about not one of us. Listen, only good thing about me tonight as I've been saved from my sin and that by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, there's nothing good about us. And he comes by, looks at Matthew and says, follow me. And the Bible said right here in verse 9, and he arose and followed him. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus is the only one you need to be following. I mean, look, he's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that can save you. You might be trying to follow the works and that of some man. Trying to follow the works and that of some other way. But Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so tonight, if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to follow Jesus and that for salvation. Can I tell you, as you follow him, you come, and it's just something that the night that I got saved, all I knew is I needed to get saved, and if I'd come to him, he would save me. I understood that much, but I didn't understand everything that was going to take place. That just as sure as he went to Calvary and died for my sin and took my place, and that he was buried and rose again, that is exactly what was going to happen to me. Not that I could pay for my sin. None of us ever could. But friend, we had to come and lay our old self down and let our old self die out and that to him. Listen, Paul put it like this in Galatians chapter 2. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I mean, the old man had to die that night. Now, I'm still in my flesh, and I still have tendencies tonight that bar up and rear up out of my flesh tonight. But thanks be unto God. Listen, that's why we have water baptism. What a great representation and that is of the death of the old man and the resurrection of the new man that we have in Christ Jesus when we follow him. Listen, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I didn't know everything that I was getting that night. All I wanted to do was get saved, miss hell. I know what I was going to heaven. I thank God when I come to him. Listen, the old man died out. The new man got birthed into him. Why do you think the Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 7 that he told Nicodemus, I marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Hey, the only way you're going to get to heaven is to follow Jesus Christ and that for salvation. There's no other way to get there. There's no other person that you can come through. Paul said in Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Hey, I've been crucified with him. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about when we were still in our sin, how that he loved us and died for us.
so that we could get saved. The Bible said in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, I not only had to come and that to a place where I was willing and that to die, and the old man had to die out. But thanks be unto God, just as sure as he got up, I've got up too. I've got life in him. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. A little exciting in here this evening. Amen. Listen, there was not only a death that had to take place when I come to get saved, but friend, there was a resurrection. I knelt at that altar as the old man. But when I come up a new man in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Thank God for that. Things was different. And I'm so proud. And that to be saved, not that I've done anything, but that it's all in him tonight. I thank God for that. Have you followed him? And that in salvation. You said, preacher, I don't understand all that stuff that you used to. You don't have to understand. I'm just telling you, that's what happens when you get saved. That old man dies and that new man gets created in Christ Jesus the Lord. And then you say, well, we're still dealing with, I understand that I'm still dealing with my flesh. And he rires up and we've got to get him under control. But I'm so tickled tonight that there's a new man that lives on the inside of me that's made me different. You know, if you can come and get saved and not be made any different, well, there ain't much salvation there to it. But listen, when I got saved, I got made different. I don't think I realized all that when I got saved, but looking back over all of it, I mean, looking back over the years and looking back over the first few weeks that I was saved, I can see some things that drastically changed in my life. I didn't see it then, but I see it now. I've done wrong and I've had problems and thought wrong and done wrong, but I'm glad there's somebody different on the inside. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm glad there's somebody living on the inside. So we follow him for salvation, just as sure as he went to Calvary and died for our sins. Our old man, you had to come. And you had to be willing to lay it all down and say, Lord, there ain't nothing I can do for myself. It's going to have to be you that does it. And I'm trusting you. Have you ever come to a place where you've trusted Christ to be your personal Savior? Believe in him and trust him. Listen tonight, we are alive and have life because of him. He told Matthew, he said, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. Have you followed him? And that for salvation. But then let me say, number two, we follow in self-denial. What do you mean we follow in self-denial? Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, the Bible said, as he's talking to his disciples over here, and he said unto all them, or to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So after we have followed him in salvation, as we begin to follow him in service, and I'm going to deal with that here in just a minute, but if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to follow him in self-denial. Listen, it's not going to be what we want to do sometimes. As I was studying this, I thought about, you know, it is hard sometimes to submit our will and that to the will of somebody else. It's hard to say, not my will, but thy will. Can I tell you that if we're going to serve Christ, if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to follow him in self-denial. He said, if any man will come after me, and by the way, that's what the word follow means. It means to go after, or to walk, or to ride, or move behind, but yet in the same direction. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to be going in the same direction that he's going. Can I tell you today that, listen, you can't follow him if you're headed in another direction than what he's going. And can I tell you tonight, he knows best. I believe there's an old song out there by that name. If there's not, somebody ought to write that thing tonight, that he knows best, and he does know best. And if you're going to follow him, you're going to have to let him be in the lead. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth. And so tonight, if he's going to lead, then we need to follow him tonight. But to follow, sometimes we have to put our will, we have to deny ourselves out of the way. We have to get ourselves out of the way. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, he said, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." He said, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So listen, if we are Christ, then we need to crucify the flesh with the affections and our lusts tonight. What we want to do, the directions that we want to go. Listen, it's never wrong to follow Christ. It's always the right thing to follow Jesus tonight. But I want you to understand it's not always the easiest thing to do. We get in our minds sometimes that, listen, that the Old Testament saints had everything figured out and that they always followed the Lord in the direction that they should go. Well, we know better than that. Moses got out there and got mad at him one day, and after he had done smote the rock once and it gave water, the Lord said, "Go out there and speak to the rock." And he goes out there and gets mad. And he said, "Oh, you bunch of rebels," and takes his staff. And instead of speaking to the rock, he smites the rock. But yet in God's divine providence and his work, he still let water flow forth and that from the rock. But that's what kept Moses from going into the promised land, as he disobeyed God. And so we know that even man in his best states altogether vanity. And we got our own problems. And then we got to try to get our flesh under control. And by the help of God, we can. Have you ever had to say, "Lord, I know this is right. I know this is the way you want me to go. I know this is the direction you want. But it's going to be tough. I'm having a hard time with it. I'm struggling with it." I think about in Luke chapter 9. And by the way, Luke chapter 9 just seemed to be a problematic chapter, especially at the end. Jesus just seemed to deal with one problem, if you would, right after another, or what could be conceived as a problem. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Have you ever said that? Have you ever just been so spiritual, been in such a good meeting or been in such a place that you'd say, "Lord, I'll go do whatever you want me to do"? Now you better be careful about that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't say that. We all should say that. But when we start making those statements like that, there's no telling what God is liable to do with you. I'm not saying don't say it, and we need to. But I'm just saying when you make those statements, mean what you say. It's better to make a vow. It's better not to make a vow than it is to make a vow and break the vow. And so this man, he comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus said, "You follow me. You're going to follow me." He said, I don't have anything. See, it's not always a bed of roses. We get in our mind that everything's just going to be perfect. Everything's just going to be right. Everything's just always going to work out the way that they need to work out. And by the way, they will work out as long as we're doing what God wants us to do. But it may not always be the way that we think they're going to. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, So ain't this exciting tonight? It'll get better, I promise you. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul, he was talking here, and he was talking about who he was and what he was and what everything he had in the law. And he said, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils quarrels among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know why Paul ended up in all this trouble right here? Because he followed the Lord. I mean, that's what brought it on. He followed the Lord. I mean, this is a man, he's been beat on, he's been stoned. As a matter of fact, I believe if you look at one point, they left him out there for dead. He was a day and a night in the deep. He'd suffered shipwreck 3 times. He'd been in all kinds of journeys. He'd been hungry. He'd been thirsty. He'd been naked. He'd been everything else and all this for following the Lord. We get it in our mind. We're really, and we can be, sir. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. That we're serving Jesus because we're coming to church 3 times a week. Or you're watching a video 3 times a week. Yeah, boy. What are we doing? How are we following the Lord? You say, well, I'm exactly where I need to be, preacher. I have denied what I've wanted over the years. And listen, that's great. And by the way, following the Lord ain't always, He don't always make us go in a different direction. You know, sometimes He does give us our wants and gets us in a path. But I guess what I'm coming to say is if we're going to follow Him, we've got to give up us, is what I'm saying. We've got to deny self. And sometimes it's not always easy, and following Him is not always an easy thing to do. And when we do follow Him, it's not always an easy path. And what's important to us may not be important to His work. You come on down in the next 2 verses in Luke chapter 9, and the Bible said, "And He said unto another, follow me." So now you know that first feller, he come and he said, "I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And so he comes down in the next verse and he turns and he looks at a gentleman and he says, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Don't get sidetracked and don't get procrastinated. Now, I'm a grade A number one procrastinator. You can ask my wife. She knows. I'll put stuff off until the very end a lot of times. And here's a man that, listen, he's wanting to put off. The Lord looks at him and says, "Follow me." And he says, "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go back and do this first." What's the Lord wanting you to follow Him about tonight? What's the Lord got in store for you? What's the Lord wanting you to do? You know, every now and again, I still ask the Lord, am I on the right path and am I in the right direction, just to make sure. I've tried to learn that until He wants me to do something different, I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. And when He wants me to do something different, I figure He'll let me know. Sometimes we look at this and it's not as important to us. Or it is important. Something is important to us more than following the Lord. To this gentleman, it was more important for him to go back and bury his father than it was to go follow the Lord. You say, well, that was an important thing. I believe it's more important to go preach the gospel. That's what the Lord said. He said, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." He said, "Go, follow me." Even in the next verses, in the next 2 verses. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." If you're going to follow Him, you're just going to have to follow Him. We can't look back. We can't turn back and say, "Boy, I wish I'd have done this," or "I wish I'd have done that different," or "Listen, Sometimes we look back into the old way, into the old path that we've traveled, and sometimes we wonder if what we're doing is worth it. I wonder if it's even worth going forward. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and look about you, you'll make crooked roads. Listen, you don't know what you're doing. If you're looking back and you've got your hand on the plow, listen, you ought to just serve him and follow him tonight. And listen, that's the best place that you can be in. How do you know that? Tell me, is it better following you or following him if you're saved tonight? Well, even if you're lost, is it better following him or following you? I know what the answer is. It's better following him. He's got the way of life. You've just got the way of death tonight. But if you're saved tonight, I know that following him is the best way. It's not always the easiest way. It's not always the easiest thing for you to give up and say, Lord, I want to follow you, but I know it's the best way. How do you know that? I come to this point right here. Serving the Lord, I know, is not hard. Number three is we follow him that we may serve him. And his way is not hard. How do you know that? He said, Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for you, unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know if you're trying to serve the world tonight, their yoke is not easy and their burden is not light tonight. And he says, if you'll get in the yoke, he said, you'll find rest for your souls. He said, I'll never forget him, Brother Davis, preach on that yoke and talking about, and he got to preaching about how folks want to whittle on that yoke and make the yoke fit them and make it easier to pull and easier to work and all them things. But friend, all we're to do is just get in the yoke and go to pulling. Just go to work following him. How do we follow him? How do we follow him in service? John 12, he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. So if you're going to serve him, you're going to have to follow him. That means to be behind him. Not beside him, not in front of him, but behind him. Letting him lead the way. That means you're going to say, Lord, wherever you go, I'm willing to go. Big statement. I'll never forget one of my preacher friends. He's done went on to be with the Lord. And I'll never forget after he went on, his wife talked to me and my wife for quite some time. And I'll never forget what she said. She was talking about people talking about how they'll serve the Lord and how that they... So that they serve the Lord 20 minutes from the house. You know, and it's like me. I'll be honest with you. I live 20 minutes from this church house. And this community that I live in, if I cover my community, it's just 30 minutes from my house to cover this community. And I'm not saying that ain't what God don't want out of me. That's not, I'm glad that he put me here. And I enjoy serving here and I enjoy being here. And I'm not looking to go nowhere. But you know, some people that serves him, he picks them up and moves them out of their hometown and moves them 6 and 10 and 12 and 15 and 24 hours away from home. Some people that's going to follow him, he moves them halfway around the world to pastor, to preach, to be an evangelist, to be a missionary, to be a missionary's wife or a pastor's wife. He moves them halfway. Why the Lord does that, I don't know. But what I'm getting at tonight is if you're going to serve him, then you're going to have to follow him. Wherever it may be out your front door, and that may be as far as you go. And I'm not saying, you know, God don't move everybody around the world. He lets somebody stay in the town where they were born at, raised at. They live there all their life, and they win folk to Christ right there. And that's what he wants out of them. And that may be what he wants out of you tonight. Are you doing that? I kind of wonder how much the gospel has got slowed down. You say, well, we're going out on video and we're doing all these things. Yeah, but when's the last time that you ever went and knocked on somebody's door? When's the last time you handed out a tract? When's the last time you seen anybody hand out a tract right now? I'll be honest with you. Boy, I tell you, they got us locked up, don't they? We're in better shape than a lot of people are tonight, though. Say, preacher, I want to serve him, but I don't know what to do. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you'll listen for his voice, just listen. Just listen. Listen for his voice, and then follow him. Listen, serving God ain't hard. We just got to follow him. He said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard to follow God tonight. You know, the Lord wants to use us. I have no doubt the Lord wants to use us. I have no doubt the Lord wants us to follow him. I have no doubt that the Lord, what did he tell his disciples over there when he was calling his disciples? He came unto him and he said, what? Follow me, and I'll do what? I'll make you fishers of men. He said, I'll use you. I mean, they were out there fishing. I understand the comparison that he was making, but he was telling them, look, boys, if you'll follow me, I'll make you greater fishermen than what you are now. I'll make you fishers of men. We follow him and we serve him. And you know what happens? He begins to add to the church. You know why he added to the early church? Because men went to preach, women went to visit and try to win souls and add unto Christ. They presented the Word of God. So he'll add to the church. If we'll just simply follow him and be faithful to him and do what we need to do for him, he'll begin to add to the church. One planteth, one soweth, one watereth, but God giveth the increase. Are we following him and sowing and planting and watering? We labor together with him, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about not only being a soldier and act for Christ, but it talks about taking men that are faithful and training other faithful men so that they can train others. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a Sunday school teacher tonight. God still needs men and women to be Sunday school teachers. He still is calling men to preach. I mean, them little ones still need to be taught. I've got a friend of mine, his little girl, she's 2.5, I guess you might say, a little over 2. And they train, I have no doubt she's probably been trained at church, but no, she's been trained at home. And you can just talk to her about Bible. A little over 2 years old. Somebody's got to train them. I still remember things that I was taught. So I was raised in church. Didn't get saved till I was 14, but I was raised in church. And all the time that, no doubt, that those men and women, I mean, when we were boys, I mean, growing up, I was all boy. And listen, had women that probably thought that they were doing no good trying to get us to learn and understand. But there's a lot of that stuff that I still remember that they taught us. I still remember Miss Shirley Patterson teaching me in Sunday school. I still remember Miss Sarah teaching me in Sunday school and my Aunt Linda teaching me in Sunday school. Miss Mildred Godfrey, when I was just little, I remember her teaching me in Sunday school. I remember Bud Patterson used to teach our training union class, and I know we frustrated him because he'd asked us how many studied our lesson and none of us studied our lesson. And I know that frustrated him. You could see it on his face. You may not think you're doing any good following the Lord, but you don't ever know what God's doing in the background. You don't ever know what God's doing in somebody's heart, trying to make a difference in them. Let me say this before I move on. It don't matter what God has somebody else doing either, by the way. Here's Peter. I mean, they're talking about Jesus is talking about somebody betraying him. And Peter looks over there and sees John laying in Jesus' bosom. And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Talking about John. And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. He said, Peter, it don't matter what John's going to do. It don't matter what I've got in store for John. You just follow me. It don't matter what God does in my life or does in my wife's life. You just follow the Lord. It don't matter what he does in somebody else's life around you. You just be faithful to follow him in the will that he has for you. And so number four, we come to following in his footsteps. As he leads, we're to follow. He's going to go out through there and we just need to fall in line as a good soldier and follow. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, what's he talking about right there? In the text, he's talking about being buffeted for our faults and being buffeted for being wrong and also being buffeted when we've not done wrong and yet people are against us. And the Bible tells us that there was found no guile, no sin in him at all. And when he reviled not again. He never fought back. You know, when we're done wrong, we're not to sin. I mean, two wrongs don't make a right, as the old saying is. The Apostle Paul tells us something about that in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. He said in verse 15, he said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. He said, follow good. He said, don't render evil for evil, but he said, just follow good. He said, do the thing that's good. Follow the way that's good. There's nothing wrong with taking a stand when you need to take a stand, but he said, follow that which is good. Don't render evil for evil. Listen, if you go to John chapter 13, let's go over there and look. John chapter 13. I'm about done. Don't quit on me. So that's the thing about being on the computer and the TV and the telephone or the phone. I don't even know if it's called a telephone anymore, but on the phone, it's got an off button on it. Although I think on Sundays, sometimes people check out on me too. John 13, look in verse 12. What's Jesus done right here? Jesus says, took his coat off and girded himself and that with a towel and began to wash his disciples' feet. And what he's teaching them here is how to be a servant. And he taught them how to serve. And he said, so after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was sat down again. And he said unto them, know you what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. What are you talking about? I was talking about following in his footsteps. We follow in his footsteps. We follow that which is good, and we don't render evil for evil. But we follow in his footsteps, and that to be a servant, and that to one another. Boy, now that's tough, ain't it? That's tough, to be a servant to other people. Jesus, the darling Lamb of God, the Son of God, took a bowl of water and began to wash his disciples' feet. He taught them how to be a servant. And he says, now do what I've done. And that's what he's telling us today. Do what I've done. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, I believe it is, that he made of himself no reputation. If there was anybody in the whole world that could have ever made a reputation, that could have had a name for himself, it was Jesus Christ the righteous. And by the way, he's got a name that is above every name if you go over there and look. But the Bible said he took up on the form of a servant. So what do you think we ought to take upon ourselves? The form of a servant. If you go and you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, after that chapter on charity in 1 Corinthians 13, he teaches on charity, the Apostle Paul does. And so as he starts chapter 14, the very first thing that he says is follow after charity. So we not only follow in service, but we follow in service that has an action to it.
That's what charity is. It's just service. It's just love in action. It's just love and service, if you'd let me say that. It's more than love. I can tell you that I love you, but if I show you that I love you, it's far better. And so the Apostle Paul said, follow after charity. So tonight, let me ask you, are you following the Lord, doing what you need to be doing? Sometimes it's hard to follow. We've got to get our self-will out of the way. And we've got to be a servant to follow in His footsteps. If you've never been saved tonight, I encourage you to get saved. Come know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight. He wants to save you and will save you. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take this message and let it be used to that building of your kingdom, to the uplifting of your name tonight. Lord, there's nothing good about me other than you. And I appreciate the message that you give us. And Lord, might I take it to heart. But Lord, those that have heard tonight, I pray that they'll take it to heart. And Lord, that we will be followers together and that of you. We love you and we thank you tonight. Help our church and help our people and help our nation and world tonight. And we'll tell you that we love you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What do you mean? Okay. Is my light on my receiver over there? Look on the thing's got the antennas.